This is Back to Your Box Office, episode number 298, for the weekend of August 4th through August 6th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to a Backseat Box Office, this podcast where we talk about movies, TV, and other stuff that we enjoy. So, Art, how is it going over there in Texas?
It is going very well. It's cooled off this week. We got some rain. I have not been working 12-hour days every day, so everything's coming up roses down here.
Very good, very good. Hey, I just realized I don't have Mojo up, so we're going to wait. I don't know what's going on here. Yeah, I'll just call it Alzheimer's. Okay.
We're just out of practice. You miss a couple of weeks, everything gets
fuzzy. Yeah, I don't know about that. All right. So at this point of the show, barring the probably less than clever segue, we will talk about what happened at the box office last weekend. So for the weekend of July 28th through July 30th, here's your top five. At number one, we have in its second week of release, we missed talking about it, Dunkirk at $26.6 million. At number two, new release, The Emoji Movie at $24.5 million. Number three, we have Girls Trip with a surprising $19.6 million in its second week release. The other new opener is Atomic Blonde at $18.3 million. And number five, still hanging around, Spider-Man : Homecoming, $13.2 million for a total of $278 million. And there's your top five.
Yeah, Dunkirk doing a lot better than I thought it would. I was a little worried about how that one would perform.
Well, I remember before the summer started that they were saying that it's probably going to be the highest grossing World War II movie.
Okay.
Which isn't, because, you know, Saving Private Ryan total is $216 million. Now, back in 98, it opened to $30.5 million, but that was in 2,463 theaters. Dunkirk opened in 3,720. So right. how long is it going to stick around? I don't know, but Mojo is listing 37 weekends for Saving Private Ryan.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're talking, it opened in July of 98, and it lasted till May 21st. The following year.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see about that.
I just don't feel like we have that much of a long tail anymore.
Oh yeah. Nah, yeah. I don't. Yeah. I don't think so either. All right. So that was the box office results for last weekend. And so now, instead of looking backwards, we're going to look forward to what's coming out in the theater this weekend. So Art, why don't you tell us about the one movie that's coming out wide release this weekend?
All right, the one movie coming out in wide release is The Dark Tower. Currently, no tomato meter available. 98% want to see it out of 31,000 user ratings. There are other worlds than these. Stephen King's The Dark Tower, the ambitious and expansive story from one of the world's most celebrated authors, makes its launch to the big screen. The last gunslinger, Roland Duchesne, Idris Elba, has been locked in the eternal battle with Walter O'Dim, also known as the Man in Black, Matthew McConaughey. Determined to prevent him from toppling the Dark Tower, which holds the universe together, with the fate of the worlds at stake, good and evil will collide in the ultimate battle as only Roland can defend the tower from the Man in Black. Rated PG-13 for thematic material including sequences of gun violence and action, genre is horror, science fiction, fantasy, and western. Directed by Nicolas Arcel, written by Nicolas Arcel, Akiva Goldsman, Anders Thomas Jensen, and Jeff Pinkner. We have no runtime listed. And as far as who's in it, we have Idris Elba, Matthew McConaughey, Abby Lee, and Tom Taylor. And no one else listed.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Somebody was being lazy.
Yeah, so you going to see this in the theater?
I want to. I don't know if I will. I'm semi-interested. Hmm. I don't know. Maybe if I can get the brother-in-law to go with me, or maybe one of the guys from the new game group. We'll see. Maybe it's a maybe. I'm about 50-50, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't go to the theaters that much, very more.
It's not a comic book movie.
Well, yeah, but I don't think that I'll see this in the theater.
No.
Okay, so as we are wont to do, we look at some of the blurbs from the critics. Reviews at the bottom of the Rotten Tomatoes page. So here is a fresh one, even though I don't know about this one. It's a highly competent and watchable paranoid metaphysical video game that doesn't overstay its welcome, includes some luridly entertaining visual effects, and, it has to be said, summons an emotional impact of close to zero. That's a fresh review. Some of the rotten reviews... we have Kate Erbland from IndieWire. King's Dark Tower universe is rich with the cultural reference points and is always totally unpredictable, but in cutting it down to consolidate its highlights, the Dark Tower can't even shoot the most necessary bullet straight. Some shorter yet equally rotten reviews. Matt Singer from Screen Crush. For a movie based on a beloved book series, the writing is sometimes shockingly bad. He gave it 3 out of 10. And then Mike Ryan from UpRocks. Astoundingly awful. Thanks for putting the time in on that one. And the last one will be Dan Callahan from The Wrap, who's a top critic. The 95-minute culmination of years-long efforts to bring the Dark Tower to the big screen is a complete disaster, a limp, barely coherent shell of a movie. So yeah, basically what we're telling is drop what you're doing and go see it right now.
Yeah.
No, I actually the opposite of that. All right.
Yeah, I don't know. It has a large following because of the novels, and I wonder if people are just hating because it's, I don't know, something different than what they expected.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Yeah. So that will be the end of our look at what's coming out in the theater this weekend. And so now that we're done looking at what's coming out in the theater, like I just said, we are going to move on over to Share Time, where Art and myself talk about what movies or whatever we've been watching. But in this segment, we also play voicemails, and we have 2 voicemails from our guy, Tad, from the Sonoran Desert. So we've been off for a while, so Tad has been busy, so he's going to tell you about the movies and TV he's been watching. So take it away, Tad.
Hey, Backseat Box Office, this is Tad calling in with what I've been watching. Alright, let's see, what have I been watching? Okay, so yesterday, Monday, I went to the movie theater and I don't work Mondays, so I went in and saw a couple of movies. The first one I saw was Spider-Man Homecoming. Really liked it. I can't say enough about it. I've heard it compared to like a Marvel / what's his name that did Breakfast Club and all that stuff, movies, and I really liked it. I liked the interaction with the friends. I liked how they made Spider-Man actually seem like a teenager, and just I liked it. Also, okay, so the second movie I saw yesterday was The Hero. It's, don't watch it. That's about all I gotta say about it. It's the, Sam Elliott movie. He's like old actor that hasn't done much, finds out he's gonna die. I was kind of thinking it'd be kind of, he'd kind of come from like a place and then, be kind of like fights his way back and makes things right. But it's just, he starts in a bad place and ends in a place. There's no real character development. I just didn't really like the movie. I wouldn't even say Netflix or anything. I just think it's not worth watching. All right. as far as TV goes, I've been watching Turn, which is a AMC show that has to do with Washington spies. And this is the fourth and final season that's on now. The first three seasons are on Netflix. So if you're interested in watching that, you can watch the first three seasons on Netflix. And you can record, get the fourth season on demand or start recording it now. I think it's probably about a quarter to halfway through the final season. So I really like it. I think it's worth watching. Let's see what else. I've been watching Killjoys. I'm really liking that. I've been watching Dark Matter. I really like that. And that's pretty much what I've been watching. Thanks for the show, guys, and I'll talk to you next week, hopefully. All right, bye-bye.
Hey, Backseat Box Office. This is Tad calling in with what I've been watching. Let's see. Recently from the library, I got Logan and Deadpool. I hadn't seen either of those yet, so I thought I'd get those and watch them. Both really good. I liked them pretty well. Yeah, they did a good job. I think I like Deadpool better than a Logan. But yeah, okay. And I'm on my way to see Dunkirk right now. It's Tuesday, and there's a movie theater here that does $5 Tuesdays. So I'm off work. Nobody's going to be home till like around 10 o'clock tonight, so I'm on my own. And I figured I didn't want to just sit around the house, so I'm going to go see Dunkirk tonight, and I'll call in and report on that. Let's see, what else did I watch? Oh, I also watched the Tom Hanks movie, Road to Perdition. I've never seen that one. I'd heard off and on that's pretty good. There's a another podcast about movies that I listened to, and they had talked about it, and they you know, said some good things about it. So I saw that there at the library, and I got that and watched that also. I liked that movie pretty well. It's kind of, I don't know. It was a good show. If you haven't seen it, I'd recommend it. Let's see. So that's about it. I'll talk to you guys later. I'll try to call in with a review of Dunkirk after I see it and let you know. All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Tad. So, yeah, you've definitely been busy. Glad you like Spider-Man Homecoming. I think he was talking about John Hughes.
Yeah.
For the comparison there.
Right, right.
Good thing. Yeah, I will avoid the hero. And, you know, I really didn't have any interest in Turn. But considering that we just got back from Boston and learned a lot about the Revolutionary War, maybe I need to, you know, I need to revisit that. And I'm still, you know, I think I stopped watching Dark Matter, but I'm recording Killjoys. I might wait till the whole season till I start watching it.
Yeah, I need to pick back up on Dark Matter. I only ever finished the first season, and I really enjoyed it. And the second season is now available on Netflix the last time I checked. Yeah. The more interesting update is I was looking through on demand to look for something to watch, and the first two seasons of Killjoys are available straight up on demand through my cable provider.
Who's your cable provider?
Time Warner Spectrum.
Yeah, Time. Okay. Interesting.
So I need to check that one out as well.
All right, and also the second voicemail, I haven't seen Logan, so I can't really compare Deadpool and Logan. Even though
shame,
yeah, well,
shame, ding, 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 shame.
Yeah, you can flog me later. And I, you know, speaking about not going to the theater very often, I do need to get my butt out to see Dunkirk, though.
Yeah. Have you seen Road to Perdition? The other thing you talked about?
Oh no, I have not. I heard that was kind of bad, so I never watched it.
No, I didn't think it was bad. It was very dark. But it was good, and I'm pretty sure that was based on a comic book, if I'm remembering correctly. But yeah, I watched it and I enjoyed it. But that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it seems like everything was a long time ago. Okay, So thank you, Tad, for the wonderful voicemail. We don't deserve you. So now, Art's turn.
Okay. What have I been up to the last couple of weeks? Okay. I watched The Descendants 2 finally dropped. it was not as good as Descendants 1. I won't be watching it again. Aubrey thoroughly enjoyed it, made me record it. She's watched it a couple of times since, but I was just kind of meh on the whole thing. I still am not done with Death Note. I think it was like 37 total episodes on Netflix, and I'm up in like the high 20s, 29, 30, somewhere around that range. So I'm almost finished with that one. Which that will free me up to pick up on Dark Matter and Killjoys. And then the only other thing I went to see, I went and saw Boss Baby. excuse me. I really enjoyed Boss Baby. I enjoyed Boss Baby. We caught it at the Cheap Show and really enjoyed it to the point where it was available on DVD like a week after we went to the theater and saw it. So I picked it up. And I've actually watched it once. I watched it a second time already. But it was well done. It was good. It was entertaining. It was not, you know, a Pixar level amazing, but it was still very good and you know, really enjoyable. So yeah, I would recommend Boss Baby if you enjoy watching animated movies. And that is it for my share time. It's been a little slow. Wow. I bet prior to this week, I had been working like a dog.
Okay. Well, for my share time, I haven't been watching a lot of TV, but I did get around to three movies over this long absence. The first one was a movie that I started before the last episode that we recorded. But I finally got around to finishing War Dogs.
Okay.
So War Dogs, if you are not familiar, is the story of these two 20-something entrepreneurs that ended up supplying arms to the forces in Afghanistan during the Bush administration. And so this was a film starring Jonah Hill and Miles Teller. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It's a very interesting story, even though, as usual, there are some things that were embellished to make it a good movie, or to make it more cinematic is probably what I should say.
Right.
Cinematic being that Miles Teller character has a daughter and a girlfriend, and I don't think that ever really figured into, you know, what happened to the true story. If you get around to watching this movie, track down the Rolling Stone article for that pretty much inspired the movie kind of thing, because the two guys are like still suing each other over money.
Oh, jeez.
And there's a part in the movie where there's a very shady, I guess, mercenary guy, that they made an American that in actuality was a French gunrunner kind of thing. And when everything went down, he disappeared, and they still, I don't think they've found him yet. whereas in the movie, he kind of helps Miles Teller out, kind of thing. So I definitely enjoyed it. You just can't believe that this really happened, but I guess there's a version of it where it really did. So I was surprised by this one, because I think it was directed by Todd Phillips, who did The Hangover. So I thought it was going to be more like a comedy, but it's actually a pretty good story. So I would recommend War Dogs if you're a fan of either of those two guys. Those two guys being Miles Teller or Jonah Hill. All right. The second movie was The Money Pit. I found out that The Money Pit is back on Netflix.
No, okay.
So I made my daughter watch it with me, and she loved it, just like she loved The Burbs.
Nice.
And The scary thing is, I realize that I've watched The Money Pit way too many times when I was younger, because I almost remember exactly what happens in almost every line and sight gag. But this was one of those, movies that I'll remember Tom Hanks for,
right,
as being the comedic actor.
Yeah.
I was also a big fan of Cheers when I was younger. And to me, this is probably, you know, it was a really good performance by Shelley Long as well. So, and I believe it was directed by Richard Benjamin, which is also, if you remember him, a long time ago. And also a comedic role for Alexander Goodenough, who was the one of the big bad guys in Die Hard, if you remember.
No.
Yeah, so you remember the brother that went nuts?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's him.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, I, you know, it's a very nostalgic recommend for me, but I, you know, you gotta check out The Money Pit at least once. The whole 2 weeks bit, I still use that kind of thing. Anyways, okay. The third movie I just watched last night, and... Oh God! What was the? I'm trying to remember. I borrowed a DVD from the library.
Okay.
And this one was sitting right next to it, and it looked interesting, so I just grabbed it. And it's called The Scenesters, which is kind of an interesting title. It's a terrible title because it doesn't really tell you what the movie's about.
Hold on. Is it like seamstresses trying to unionize?
No. Scene. S-C-E-N-E.
Oh, okay.
Scenesters.
Gotcha.
Apparently, okay, it's so. Slang for hipster or bohemian, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
But the movie, it's a Hollywood satire type of movie. So it's about this guy and his buddy that want to make Hollywood movies, but they can't get any work. So the director takes a job being a videographer of homicide crime scenes for the LAPD.
Okay.
And so he drags his producer along, and I guess one of them knew this guy that cleans up all the spatter or splatter stuff.
Uh-huh.
So he cleans up the blood, the brain, you know, the worms for bodies that have been there for a long time.
Right.
So anyways, the three of them are like talking, and this guy, he notices like everything. And he kind of figures out that maybe these murders are connected, and they pretty much prove without a shadow of a doubt that they are connected. But instead of going to the police, they say, we can make an Oscar winning documentary out of this. So they take the evidence, and the guy who cleans up all the hazardous materials, he's the subject of the documentary. And everything just spirals downward from there. And it's a really, it's not well acted. It's not, it's a pretty, you could probably say it's a predictable murder mystery kind of thing. But when they're trying to make a documentary, out of this movie, you know, minor spoiler is that there's a guy who says he's the killer, but he's not really a killer. He just wants to be in the documentary. I mean, that's something. Yeah, it was. I mean, it's definitely R. It's definitely probably, you know, a horror/suspense movie. But I enjoyed this one. I guess it came out in 2009. So you know, check it out. There were so many meta jokes in this movie. It's if you're a fan of noir, I think you gotta check this out. Okay, so that's gonna end my share time. So now let's all move over to some news. It's been a while. Maybe there are some shocking revelations out there, or maybe not. So Art, what do you have?
Okay, what do I want to lead with? How about okay. We've got our first photos coming out from Bruce Willis doing the update of Death Wish. And we talked about this, or I feel like this is the first I'm hearing of this.
I think it's the first time.
Okay. They're changing it from New York to Chicago. It's being directed by Eli Roth, and he says, we wanted to bring back that great classic Bruce Willis we all know and love, and just do a fun, badass update of a revered classic. I wanted to bring Bruce back to that Fifth Element, unbreakable, diehard glory, and have him grasp another iconic performance. He says, I think this really can be his Taken. So that's quite a bar to set there.
Yeah.
I like the idea of Bruce Willis in the Charles Bronson role of reimagining Death Wish. Death Wish really is a classic, so we'll see where this goes.
All right. This is probably the most shocking news, so I'm gonna lead with it here.
Okay.
You know, we talk about Netflix a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix, according to the LA Times, from a business standpoint, the LA Times reported that the company has accumulated $20 billion in long-term debt and obligations. $20
billion. Wow.
And it's all because of their trying to acquire original content.
Jeez.
Also says the company isn't showing signs of slowing down either, and expects to spend at least $6 billion in content, while their net cash outflow is forecast to grow as much as $2.5 billion. So their cash outflow will be $2.5 billion. They're saying that's like 10%.
Right. But what is cash outflow? That's what they're spending. That's what they're paying back.
Net cash outflow. I'm not exactly sure. It says that they're going to spend at least $6 billion in content this year.
Right.
And they said it's forecasted. So it might be $6 billion, and it could grow to $8.5 billion. If they're saying.
Okay. I don't know. Okay. What are they pulling in on a yearly basis?
That they're not talking about in this article.
Hmm.
They are saying that they aren't too worried about it because their subscribership was up 25% from the year before.
Yeah, people love Netflix.
But what the interesting thing is that you know, a lot of these original programs they don't produce. Like Orange is the New Black, it's done by an independent company.
Right.
Stranger Things was something that they did, but all the Marvels. I mean, obviously they're paying to, you know, to be able to show that.
Right.
Says here, its series and movies account for more than a third of all primetime download internet traffic in North America. And, you know, the stock isn't doing too bad. Its stock is nearly up 50% this year, or this year alone. And I guess, you know, as far as Emmys and awards, they're number two behind HBO. So I just thought that was, that was shocking, at least to me.
Yeah, I don't know, because, I just looked up the number of Netflix subscribers, mm-hmm. and like they just passed the 100 million mark.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they just passed the 100 million mark, then they're pulling in, it's like $15 a month now. So they're pulling in $1.5 billion a year. That seems like they're kind of upside down.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Of course.
I'm concerned.
Yeah. We'll have to look into more of that.
I don't want my Netflix to go away.
No, don't worry about it. Like I was talking to my friend on the way home tonight. There's always Hulu. You know, you'll end up on Hulu.
Amazon Prime. Yeah, I'd probably just go Prime.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have Hulu, but I have both Prime and Netflix. So, all right, what do you got next, Art?
All right, next. Jessica Chastain confirms her X-Men villain role.
Click. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so she officially confirmed her role as the villain for the currently in production X-Men Dark Phoenix, which is due out November 2018. And she is going to be playing Princess Magistrix Lilandra Neramani of the Shi'ar Alien Empire.
Oh, that just rolls off the tongue, baby.
It does. Lilandra. The one who eventually hooks up with Professor X, if I remember from the comics correctly. Okay. So, anyway.
I look forward to that. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. I thought that was interesting. Jessica Chastain. I don't know. I didn't realize that that Dark Phoenix was that close. I mean, it's a little over a year, so the next Christmas season. But yeah.
I heard on another podcast that they saw film crews filming New Mutants in Boston.
Okay.
So I don't know. To your point, how soon? Yeah, who knows? With that. But continuing on the Marvel tip, we are, 2.5 weeks away from The Defenders. The Defenders comes out on Friday, August 18th. There will be 8 episodes.
Okay.
And DarkHorizons.com does have a slideshow of stills from the show. And so all we know, other than The Defenders being Matt Murdock / Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Danny Rand / Iron Fist. We also have Sigourney Weaver as the villain, Alexandra. Elektra will be back. Scott Glenn as Stick. Deborah Ann Wall as Karen Page. Eldon Henson as Foggy. Carrie Ann Moss as Jerry Hogarth, because I think she's been in almost every one.
Yeah.
Rachel Taylor as Trish Walker. Ika Darvill as Malcolm Dukas, and then Simone Missick as Misty Knight, and then Jessica Henwick as Colleen Wing. So, did they miss? They missed the Night Nurse, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. She's definitely in the pictures.
Right, right. And what about, did they mention Elektra?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Elodie Young is Elektra. She's the second one.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I was looking at something else and I missed it.
There is a picture of Gal. So she's in it.
Well, yeah, they've got to tie all the loose ends back together. I'm really excited for this.
Yeah.
I keep trying to get Brittany to watch Jessica Jones. She just won't fall for it.
Yeah, I during the weekend I had Netflix on and I just turned on Jessica Jones just to watch the little of the pilot. Because I've done that for Luke Cage recently. And it remembered that I was on the scene in the police station.
Nice.
My God, that's so good. So good.
Uh-huh.
All right, Art, what do you got next?
Okay. Is Dave Bautista in The Eternal Warrior? So The Eternal Warrior is a comic put out by Valiant Comics. And I'm only tangentially familiar with this. I always get this confused with The Eternal Champion. The Eternal Champion is a concept from Michael Moorcock, which includes like Corum and Elric of Melnibone. This is a completely different thing, still comics related. But the funny thing is, he kind of leaked it on Twitter, and the response from, where is it? The CEO from Valiant said, "I can neither confirm nor deny that Dave Bautista just revealed a giant secret." So it looks like he's working on another comic book movie, and I'll be interested to see where this goes. I collected a few Valiant comics back in the day. Mostly I want to say Ninjak, a little bit of Manowar, and a couple others. Or maybe those were Malibu. I don't know. I'd have to go back through the stacks and find out. But it has me interested.
Okay. I was going to talk about Star Trek Discovery a little bit, but I started reading it, and one of the executive producers, it just sounded like a big old bag of hot air talking about that this is going to be the most serialized Star Trek that's ever been on. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm serious. I have serious doubts about Discovery, but I'll end up watching it.
So you're going to subscribe to watch it?
I don't know. I'll have to figure that out.
Yeah.
I'll have to figure that out. But on a related note to Star Trek, they're bringing back Wrath of Khan to the theaters.
I saw that.
I'm not usually into these revivals, but I definitely want to see Star Trek 2 on the big screen again. So this is one of those Fathom event deals, and it will be on September 10th and September 13th. So you can go to the fathomevents.com to hunt down tickets if you're interested in doing it. And I think that's my last news story. So,
okay.
So Art, why don't you carry us out here?
All right, I will wrap up with they have a title for James Bond 25, and they're calling it Shatterhand. So these are the first round of rumors post Eon's announcement of a release date last month. The British tabloid The Mirror has done an article claiming they've landed some details about the story. It's going to be based on the 1999 Bond novel Never Dream of Dying. And this is going to be the first movie that isn't based on the original novels from Fleming. So this is going to be a little bit more of an original adventure. So I thought that was interesting. The novel, You Only Live Twice, the Dr. Guntram Shatterhand is an alias of Ernest Stavro Blofeld.
Mm-hmm.
So we keep coming back to Blofeld, really focusing on him and just continuing to build that, what do you want to call it, that legacy, which I think is interesting. More stuff coming out. We'll see where it goes. And this is supposed to be hitting theaters November 8th, 2019. So this is still a long way out.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And that's going to be it for news. And that's going to be the end of our show. So everyone, thank you for listening to this episode of Backseat Box Office. Our website is backseatproducers.com. Where not only can you catch the latest episodes or back episodes of this show, you can also check out the other podcast, Backseat Producers. I see that they just, for episode 420, they reviewed the movie Half-Baked. The episode before that was Baby Driver, so on and so forth. On the website, you can find the number so you can leave us a voicemail like Tad did. Comment on the blog. There's a bunch of stuff on there, so just go to backseatproducers.com. That's backseatproducers.com. Other than that, again, thanks for listening. Take care of yourselves. Go see a movie. And we'll catch you next week. Art, what do you want to say?
Goodbye.